Down the Dunk Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition Down the Dunk Podcast. This is Jay and Andrew with you. We wanted to jump on just for a few minutes and talk a little bit about the Caron Butler edition for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if you had not heard the news yet, Caron Butler chose to sign or will sign with the Thunder sometime Saturday afternoon or evening. And we just wanted to jump on and talk a little bit about that. Remember, as we always say, you can follow us on Twitter at DDD Podcast. Look for us online at downtodunk.com. You can find us in an iTunes search, Down to Dunk. Andrew, I want to hear your thoughts on the pickup.
Dude, I'm so excited. I think Caron Butler will be a really nice addition to this team. He is a little under 40% for the year, which is not good, but his three-point percentage is very comparable to what Jeremy Lamb is shooting. I think that he's a tougher guy. His nickname is Tough Juice. So he's known for being a tough guy. He's a veteran leader. He's been in playoff games, and you need guys like that on your team to win the championship. I mean, the Heat right now, they would not be where they are without Ray Allen. Caron Butler can fill like a similar role. Not that he's that good of a 3-point shooter, but he's going to fill that veteran role. He's going to make good plays for them. And I think that he is for sure going to take away Perry Jones' minutes. I think that we will see very little of Perry unless we play the Heat. I do think that they'll probably throw Perry and Caron Butler on LeBron. He's another defender. He's another shooter. I don't think there's any downside to this whatsoever. People talk about maybe it hurting the development of our younger players. But I think having a guy who's been there and done that in the locker room, another guy, I think that it's only going to help. And, these young guys haven't proven to be guys that will show up in the playoffs anyway. So I'm glad to have another guy on board with the Thunder that has been there and done that.
And I think it's one of those things for me where I feel like more weapons is not ever going to be a bad thing. So maybe there's a game where they do put Jeremy Lamb in, kind of like he played in Miami, and he comes out, he's filling rhythm, and he's knocking down three-pointers. Well, you can run with the hot hand. If Caron Butler's in there and what he brings with you. And so to have more weapons is not a bad thing. And this is where you have to trust Scott Brooks, which has been hard for me, admittedly, but you have to trust him to know how to use these guys and that the guys are all on board for the championship run, which I think for me is the biggest thing about this, and I think a lot of what happens here doesn't happen necessarily with Caron Butler's addition basketball-wise, but here's kind of my rundown of why I love this pickup. Number one, the Miami Heat did not get him. I think that's an immense addition to the Thunder in the sense that he would have been a great fit on that team and a piece they probably could really use, and so the Heat missed out on him. Obviously, Danny Granger, and it sounds like Jimmer Fredette, which are the three biggest names. Maybe Ben Gordon goes to the Heat. I'm not really sure he can do much either way. I think that's significant. I think for the fan base in particular, this gives them the signal that the Thunder are going after it this year. For years, historically, what the Thunder have done is they've sat on moves that we felt like they should have made. They've had two of these trade exceptions expire, and Thunderheads just want something to make them look like they're not just developing for the next few years. And this is a move that says we're going to go after it this year, and I like that. The next thing it does for me is I think it shows to the Thunder players themselves that the organization is investing in it for this year. And what that means to me is that the Thunder players have seen players come and go and them not make any additions. And surely that has to be at least somewhere under the surface frustrating for them. They probably trust the system as much or more than the majority of people do. But I think for them to see the fact that, hey, this is a guy that they've played against, that they know his game, and that Sam Presti with Scott Brooks made the decision to pursue probably means something to them. And then I think all of it, the underlying theme of all of those is the fact that the organization realizes that the window is not limitless to make championship runs. I think the Thunder have the biggest window in the NBA right now, as far as you've got another 3 or 4 years with both Katie and Russ at least. And as long as they're together on a team, I still believe that they have a championship chance every single year. Oh, yeah. But they realize that it's not a limitless window, and so they are doing things right now to make moves for the playoffs. I love it. I don't know how quickly he comes in and is ready to contribute. He may play Sunday night a little bit against the Bobcats, but all I know is this is a move that is ready for June to come. So I'm excited. So let's talk a little bit. I need minutes. He will be taken. But let's talk just kind of hypothetically to some lineups that you see giving Caron Butler and the Thunder a chance to kind of really excel with him on the court.
Well, I think that they're really going to test him in small ball lineups a lot. And without Perkins on the floor, they're really going to have an opportunity to do that for extended minutes. You know, Caron Butler can get out there and play 20, 25 minutes a game and be effective. And I think that Brooks will want to play him. So, I mean, we'll see lineups of, you know, Westbrook, Tabo, Caron Butler, and KD and Ibaka. You know, I think that that would be a common lineup, and they may even close games with that lineup. And then I think that you can, you know, put in Reggie for Tabo or put in Lamb for Tabo. And I think that that would be a pretty common thing to let KD be at the four and then Caron be at the three. And they may even switch Caron over to the four sometimes because that dude is strong enough to guard some of the fours in the league. I don't know. The more I think about it, I don't know how many minutes directly he's going to be taking from Jeremy Lamb, because I don't know that Caron Butler can play the two. I mean, I think back when he was a lot younger, he could play the two guard, but he's in his 12th year in the league. He can't play the two guard anymore. He's more of a 3-4 guy than he is than a 2-3 guy. So I see him in a lot of small ball lineups. I see him being the primary backup to Kevin Durant when Kevin Durant comes out of the game. And then I do see him closing games with that lineup. And, you know, he may eat up some of Fisher's minutes. And, you know, we watch them play the Clippers. He may be in there in place of Derek Fisher or in place of Reggie Jackson. So it'll be interesting. I think that Brooks will really like Caron Butler, and I think that he'll want to play him a lot, kind of in a similar role that Derek Fisher has played. And I hope that he is as successful as I think he will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you – if you're the coach and you're running a lineup out there to end the game, and I kind of play with this in my own head, obviously Russ at the one, KD at the four, Serge at the five, Caron at the three, and so that two spot leaves you open to whoever we feel like at that point that three spot.
That's the two spot.
And so you have, what do we say, Russ, Kevin, Serge, and then you have Butler, the three. That could be filled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could fill with Caron Butler, Jeremy Lamb, Reggie Jackson, or Derek Fisher, I think, would be who fits that role.
Yeah.
I like the idea, especially against a team like the Heat, or even, you know, miraculously when Cleveland turned into a basketball team on Wednesday night. I like the idea of leaving Tabo at that two, because it doesn't put you in as much trouble offensively to keep exactly. him on the court when you have Caron Butler, because then you have four positions that can score the basketball. And yes. That's a big deal for the Thunder. And like I said, that doesn't mean that Lamb and Reggie and those guys won't get more of a chance. I think Reggie has to hopefully takes this as a challenge to engage on the defensive end, or he'll see his minutes dwindle, because he's been downright off. Especially here in the last two or three games since Russ has come back on the defensive end. And,
He's really struggled. I don't know what's going on with Reggie Jackson. He's really, really struggled as of late. And I don't know if it's just a kind of a letdown after the All-Star break or what it is, because I've seen him compete at the defensive end before, but I haven't seen it at all this year. I mean, what do you think is going on with Reggie?
You know, I think the team itself, there's a bunch of things working against the team right now. Like, I'm not trying to make excuses. That Cleveland loss is a bad loss no matter how you cut it, right? It's not the first time they've lost at Cleveland when Kyrie Irving went nuts, obviously. We remember, I think it was either last year before where he went nuts in Cleveland. But the thing for me is I feel like they have about no rhythm as a team right now. They've played three games over the course of 2 weeks together, and they haven't. They just can't get together defensively. That's why I wish like a back-to-back for the first time I feel like would be good for this team right now. And so I see just they're out of sync, especially with the addition of Russell Westbrook and the limited amount of games. I feel like Reggie's trying to figure out how to play inside the system again. And that's hard. Now, on defense, it's not an excuse. I think as much as Thunderheads may hate this statement, is that we miss Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. More than anything, because he is the quarterback defensively on the court. He's telling people where to be, and he's helping people be in the right position. And that's been a big deal, too. And because how many times against Cleveland was – I mean, Kyrie Irving standing in the corner wide open for a three-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, like, what in the world could you leave anybody else on the court open other than him? And that's a communication thing. And so in the same sense that they're adjusting to Russell Westbrook's addition, they're also adjusting to the fact that somebody else has to take that role in the court. And I have no doubt in my mind that Durant and Russ, and look for it tonight, in my opinion, against the Grizzlies, are going to come out and run that defense on the court. I would put, if I was a betting man, I would put a lot of money on the Thunder tonight to win the game straight up, which is crazy because they may score 60 points in the middle of the paint, the Grizzlies may, but I think the Thunder clamped down on the perimeter tonight.
Yeah, they never lose. They rarely lose two in a row, and they just lost three in a row. I mean, that's something that we don't see. We haven't seen it at home since they first came here in that first season. So I do think that I'm with you. I think they're going to bounce back tonight. I mean, they've got to. Kind of back to Caron Butler, he's missed a lot of games this season. There's no doubt, there's no denying that. But things that he's done this season that, you know, we're adding a guy who has had a 38-point game this year. I mean, the guy came in and shot, you know, hit four threes, shot 50% from the field, and hit and scored 38 points in a game. But being able to add a guy that can come in and put in, you know, I don't realistically think he'll ever score 38 for the Thunder, but come in and score 15 to 20 points a game on a night where, you know, Lamb isn't hitting and Reggie Jackson's erratic, you know, having a guy that can come in and score like that, that's something that the Thunder don't have. And so adding that component to the Thunder, I think, is huge. I mean, just massive. And he can score in different ways as well. He has been pretty consistent hitting the three ball, but he's a big guy who gets in there and can get offensive rebounds and score off the offensive rebound. So I'm excited about that. And I think, I mean, I think that he could, you know, I wish he was playing tonight because I think the Thunder could really use him immediately. But I think that he will be a boost to the confidence of this team and a boost to the confidence of the locker room.
And I think it's hard for me to take anything that happened in Milwaukee this year as an evaluation of who he is as a player. Like,
right.
Who's going to get up for a team that is outspokenly tanking? You know, like they're not hiding the fact that they don't want to be very good.
Toxic locker room. You know, really the guy who they thought was going to be the best player, Larry Sanders, has been in and out of the lineup with, you know, he had an injury in a bar fight and he has had a terrible attitude. And, Gary Neal, a guy who came from the Spurs, who we didn't heard anything bad about at all, was mouthing off to Larry Sanders in the locker room. You know, everybody on that Bucks team came out looking really, really bad. And I'm sure Caron is ready to get out and come into a culture like the Thunder where everything is pretty stable.
And the Thunder are one of those teams, like, they're good enough now where guys that, you know, maybe have struggled at points can find a rhythm and can find a place on the team because they are so good as far as a chemistry standpoint that, you know, Derek Fisher got traded from the Lakers to the Rockets for basically nothing And then the Rockets cut him or released him or bought him out whenever he did. And he came back and there was this rejuvenation of Derek Fisher. Like, I actually have loved the way he's played this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane because I didn't want to see him touch the floor ever earlier this season. But he's been great. And it's just something about a team that works together that can help players that maybe were in a funk come out of it. So I'm excited for the move. I think it's a great addition for the Thunder. I'm excited to see him play. I bet he plays on Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit against the Bobcats, and then we'll start getting really into the rotation once they get a couple days to work them out together.
I'll tell you what, my very favorite thing about the Caron Butler signing is that the Thunder gave up no assets at all, and they stayed under the luxury tax to do it, and this is a pretty significant move. Like, this is a bigger deal than the Derek Fisher move a few years ago. I mean, a much, yeah, much bigger deal. And the Thunder did it without having to give up anything whatsoever, and they're still under the luxury tax. And so I think that they're a step closer to becoming that first team to win the championship without going over the luxury tax, and letting people know that just because you make smart moves, it doesn't mean that you're cheap. I'm excited to see the potential of this team now with a guy like Caron Butler on the team.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like enough for today on the Caron Butler front. We're excited to see him play, and the Thunder will go to Memphis tonight. Obviously, he's not allowed to sign yet because it hasn't been 48 hours since he's been bought out, but he should be on the at least in uniform on Sunday night, hopefully get some minutes. But that's all we got. You got anything else, Andrew?
I'm so excited. That's all.
I am excited, too. It's good. And that's what I'm saying, that actually the fan base is pretty jacked about this move, which is good as well. All right. Thanks for listening to us on the Down and Up podcast. Remember, check us out. We moved our day that we release our main podcast to Wednesday. So check us out on that. Follow us on Down at DTD podcast on Twitter. Look for us on our website at downtheduck.com. And we'll see you later.